Welcome to St. James Cathedral and to this celebration of the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. As we prepare ourselves for prayer, please take a moment to silence your cell phone. As you entered the cathedral today, you received a bulletin which contains the order of celebration for today's Mass. It includes the music and sung responses. Please use it to participate fully and actively in the liturgy today. The entrance hymn is found in the red worship hymnal, number 530, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, hymn number 530. Please rise for the entrance.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Friends, we have begun by singing aloud the praises of God. For a moment now, in the quiet of our hearts, let us continue to give praise to the God who is rich in mercy, full of compassion. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family safe with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, we may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I praise you. I bow down toward your holy temple.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received and in which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized them and all those with them, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. My friends in Christ, if you came to church this morning hoping for good weather and good news, well, I can't give you the good weather, but I can give you good news. In fact, the readings are full of good news, all three of them. And what's the good news? The good news is that God calls sinners and actually depends on sinners to do his work. And there's even more good news. It's this: nothing is impossible for God. The reading from Isaiah sets the stage. Isaiah is favored with a vision of the all-holy God in all his majesty and glory. He hears the angelic chorus filling the heavens with their mighty hymn, "Holy, holy, holy." And suddenly, Isaiah is overwhelmed by the enormous abyss that exists between him and God, between God's holiness and his own sinfulness. "Woe is me," he says. "I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips." But God reaches out to bridge that great abyss. God sends one of the seraphim to touch Isaiah's lips with a burning ember taken from the altar. In that moment, Isaiah is a changed man, so much so that when God asks for someone he can send on a prophetic mission, Isaiah, no longer burdened by his overwhelming sense of sinfulness, quickly signs up. "Here I am," he says. "Send me." Call that good news, Exhibit A. God calls sinners and depends on sinners to do his work. Exhibit B was in the gospel, a story we know very well. Jesus is teaching a large crowd of people at the Sea of Galilee. The crowd on the shore is so large that Jesus decides to teach from Simon Peter's boat. Luke adds this little detail, this curious detail, when he tells us that Jesus sat down in the boat to teach. Well, we might think that he sat down in order to steady himself while the boat rocked and pitched, but really the reason he sat down was that rabbis always sat down to teach. It was a sign of their authority. When he had finished teaching, Jesus told Simon Peter to put out into deep water and to lower the nets for a catch. At first, Peter tried to reverse roles and to play the teacher. He was the one who knew about fishing, after all, not Jesus. "Master," he said, "we have worked all night long and have caught nothing." But even though Peter was quite certain that there were no fish to be caught, he swallowed hard, and in an act of faith that must have surprised even himself, he said to Jesus, "But at your command, I will lower the nets." It was an act of faith that paid off. So great was the catch that the nets nearly gave way, and Peter had to send for help from the others in a boat. And then there was Peter's response to Jesus. Did you notice how closely his response resembled Isaiah's response when he beheld God's glory? Isaiah had said, "Woe to me, for I am unclean." Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And just as Isaiah was cleansed from his sins, so was Peter. And just as Isaiah was sent on a great mission, so was Peter. God calls sinners and depends on sinners to do his work. Mark that, good news, Exhibit B. Exhibit C came in the second reading. Paul reminds the Corinthians of the various appearances of the risen Lord to Peter, to James, to the 12, to the 500 brethren, and then mentions himself, quickly adding that he didn't really deserve to be an apostle at all because he had persecuted the church of God, persecuted with a vengeance. But Paul's sins didn't seem to count for much. God had chosen him and called him. And that was that. You see, God calls sinners and depends on sinners to do his work. Good news, Exhibit C. My friends, we have heard some very good news this morning. There is, of course, the very good news, the exceedingly good news that we haven't yet dealt with, the news that for God, nothing is impossible. Luke sounds that theme often in his gospel. We heard it repeatedly during Advent when the angel announced to Mary the impossible news that she, a virgin, was about to conceive and bear into the world the Savior of the world. We heard it too when Mary's kinswoman, Elizabeth, childless because she was barren, conceived a child in her old age. And of course, we heard it in today's gospel, when Peter and his friends hauled in that great catch of fish from the lake. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing can get in the way of God's wonders. Not our sinfulness, not our human limitations, great as they may be, not even nature itself, it seems, nothing. Isaiah, Peter, and Paul, and those two boats loaded down with freshly caught fish are all ample evidence of that. My friends in Christ, we live in a world where bad news rules. We really can't get away from bad news for very long, can we? It's everywhere, and it can so easily drag us down, stymie us, immobilize us, turn us into cynics. But we are believers. We are people of the gospel, good news people. We know the stories of Isaiah and Peter and Paul, and we know that the God who worked wonders for them and through them can do the same for us and through us. The God who turned Isaiah the priest into Isaiah the prophet, who turned Peter the fisherman into Peter the preacher, and Paul the persecutor into Paul the apostle, that same God can do equally great things for us. And our sins and our failings and our inadequacies, great as they may be, really have nothing to do with it. For you see, God calls sinners and depends on sinners to do his work. And nothing is impossible for God. God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. To the God who has called us out of darkness into marvelous light, let us pray.
Church, that all the baptized may listen to the voice of the Lord and discern our God-given vocation. For all married couples, especially those who are experiencing difficulties, that they may be united in mutual love, forbearance, and respect. For our homeless sisters and brothers during this winter storm, that they may find the shelter and warmth they need.
In your
brothers and sisters in the parishes of St. Bernadette in Seattle, Our Lady of Lourdes in Vancouver and Seattle, and the Mission Church of Our Lady of Lourdes in Wilkeson, for their pastors and all who share in the ministry, that they may know the love and care of the Lord they serve. For all of us gathered in this holy place, that we may heed the voice of the Lord, calling us to lives of love and service.
All holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and in your presence, angels stand in awe. Enlarge our vision that we may recognize your power at work in your Son and join the apostles and prophets as heralds of your saving word. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Lord our God, who once established these created things to sustain us in our frailty, grant that they may become for us now the sacrament of eternal life through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. Through his cross and resurrection, he freed us from sin and death and called us to the glory that has made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. Everywhere we proclaim your mighty works, for you have called us out of darkness into your own wonderful light. And so with all the choirs of angels in heaven, we proclaim your glory and join in their unending hymn of praise. Indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the cup, and once more, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, Peter, our bishop and his assistant bishops, the clergy, and all your holy people. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, the Apostles, St. James, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may become co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Let us pray with confidence to the Father in the words our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my room, but only word, soul.
Thank you.
O God, who have willed that we be sharers in the one bread and the one cup, grant us so to live that, made one in Christ, we may joyfully bear fruit for the salvation of the world, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Well, I must say, you're quite a brave bunch. Good for you. I looked around. I know you're coming from a lot of places, from, you know, Issaquah on the east side, and Kenmore on the north, and West Seattle, and Rainier Valley, and I'm not beginning to exhaust the possibilities, but good for you for making the effort, and I hope it wasn't too difficult, and I hope you get home as safely as you got here. So, compliments. Please look at the website this week, because there are more storms to come, or so we're told, and we may have to do some adjustment with our scheduling, so we'll keep the website up to date and let you know if things have to be canceled. I want to take this moment to welcome any of you who are visitors. We're delighted you could join us this morning and be part of our prayer. I hope you'll feel welcome to it, the hospitality. There is hospitality. The muffin makers made it too. So in the Cathedral Hall immediately following, which is located on the south side of the building over here out to Columbia Street. The Lord be with you.
And with
you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.